Just before stepping into their brand new worship center, Chuck Swindoll pointed the congregation at Stonebriar Community Church to the Israelites, who had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before inhabiting the Promised Land. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck reminds us of the parallel between these two events and the implications not only for the church, but for you and me as well. And then at the close of today's program, we've set aside several minutes to hear Chuck answer questions that have come from our listening family. But right now, let's conclude the message called Almost Home.
All great sermons have great outlines. People who study this whole subject of homiletics will tell you the importance of having the skeleton around the thought or beneath the thoughts of your message. And Moses has a great skeleton in his thoughts of verses 1 to 13. Let me give them to you. They're right here in the passage. Verse 4, hear the truth continually. You shall hear, O Israel. Verse 5, love the Lord fervently. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and with all your might. Verse 7, teach the young diligently. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. And finally, fear the Lord greatly. Verse 13, you shall fear only the Lord your God. What a splendid outline. Hear, love, teach, fear. He starts very personally within as you hear and as you love, and he turns to the expression of it as you teach and as you fear. Let's look at the first one of the four. Hear the Lord, or hear the truth continually. Knowing they were about to march into a land that had no history of the faith, knowing that the true God of heaven was an unknown God to these idolatrous Canaanites, it is here that he begins. Hear, O Israel, hear all of you who have followed the cloud and the fire, hear this well. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is the one and only God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever compromise that. That is foundational to our faith. The Elohim of the Genesis 1:1, who created heaven and earth, he is our God. He is first. He is top priority. He is the focus of our worship. He is, in fact, the foundation of our life. Now that you are almost home, remember, you take this Lord your God with you into the new land. And all the other gods go, all the multiple gods of the land that you will conquer, as you set up home and establish your faith right off the bat. Remember, the Lord is your God. It's time to get back to the basics. Look at the next. Love the Lord fervently. That's verses 5 and 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. How deep does he go? To the heart. It's there where life makes up its mind. May the truth that you have heard seep deep within your being so that as decisions are made, the decisions square with the truth. The triangles are congruent. And you can defend the decision based on truth. And if you can't, you don't go there. By the way, if repetition is the emphasis of the scriptures, look at the word all in verse 5. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. To whom is Moses speaking? Look at verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2. He's talking to people who have sons and grandsons. So he's really writing to adults. and more specifically to parents. He's writing to us. And writing to us about something as basic as hearing the truth continually and then loving the Lord in return fervently, all our heart, all our soul, all our might. There's intensity in that word. All. I found that it's virtually impossible for parents to convince children that truth is truly truth if they live a lie. You cannot deceive your child and convince your child at the same time that truth works. You cannot come off one way false and phony and hypocritical at the same time expect your child to come out believing that truth works. Love the Lord fervently. Hear the truth continually. And now you would expect it. Teach the young diligently. See verse 7. Of course, it's not about parents learning theology. It is about parents in the process of transferring truth. What you have heard and what you love, you now teach. And the word diligently could be rendered sharpen your children. In fact, the Amplified does that. It renders it, you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. God has no grandchildren. His only children. There is no automatic transfer of truth from dad and mom to child. It's a journey they must take. And in the taking of the journey, there is a deliberate sharing of the truth, a teaching of the truth, not done by Sunday school teachers, as valuable as they are. But you who have sons and daughters and grandchildren, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And look at how you do it. How do you talk to them? How does it happen? Well, look at verse 7, when you sit in your house. You done that lately? Sure, every day. How about when you walk by the way? When you take a walk. And I hope you're still doing that with your children. Just take a walk. Or maybe take a drive. That would be today's term. When you lie down, when you get up. Isn't that great? I mean, that's just life. It's nothing forced. There's nothing homiletical about that. There's no 3 points in a poem that you're unloading on them. As a matter of fact, look at it. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they'll be like frontals in your eye, on your forehead. You'll write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. It'll be in the very cells of your home. It's the verses written on the heart that result in a compassionate daddy and an understanding mom. You shall talk of them, you shall bind them, you shall write them. There are teachable moments that are like little windows that open and then they close. Sensitive are the parents that know when the window has opened. Sometime it's after a tough day. Sometime when they're getting beat up on. Sometime when they lost the ball game. It's that sort of thing. You see, we are almost home. And if we're not careful, life will get busy and complicated. And see how he puts it? Verse 10, these great and splendid cities which you didn't build. Wow. We hadn't seen cities like that since they left Egypt. Look at that sculpture. Look at this painting. Look at that. Look at that. Look at those houses. Well, we're going to live in them. And you go into them and they have these belongings that you have never seen before, not even in Egypt. And there'll be plenty of everything, water and vineyards and trees, and you will eat and be satisfied. Verse 12, watch yourself. it isn't Canaan's fault if the Hebrews fall. And you know what? They did. They got into the land and they failed. They didn't watch themselves. They forgot the Lord their God who brought them from the land of Egypt. So it's natural that he would say in verse 13, fear the Lord greatly. It's not like, oh, I'm scared to be around him. It's not a frightful fear. It's an awesome respect. It's a reverencing of him as our grand, good, faithful, holy God. Shema Israel, Adonai. The Lord is one. Learn it. Believe it. And then as you fear him and respect him, and look how it reads, you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods. Don't you love verse 20? When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what do these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves in Egypt. Isn't that great? You know what? He doesn't know slavery. He's been born since slavery. And so you tell him about the mighty hand of your God that brought you out of Egypt, and how he showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Pharaoh and all of his household. Look at verse 23. He brought us out in order to bring us in. I got those verses marked, or those words marked. He brought us out in order to bring us in. He brought you out of where you were in order to bring you into where you are. Stand in awe of him. Why would he command such things? It seems a little strict, doesn't it? Seems a little narrow, a little rigid. One God in the midst of a plurality of gods. And to walk like this in a world that walks like this? Why would he tell us this? Verse 24. The Lord commanded us to observe these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival. There's the reason. It's for our good. And it's for our survival. The next time someone tries to convince you that the Lord's trying to take your fun away, just show them that verse. It's for our good, and it's for our survival. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe what he has written. A broker of truth. I hope I have been that for you today. Because I think if you hear these things and you've sat through them all this time, you want that. You want that for your sons and your daughters. The exciting thing is that that will happen. Not like you plan it, but as the Lord will direct it. And he's taken us out that he might bring us in. Praise his name. Will you bow with me, please? Some of us have stories to tell that would keep us here another hour. Lessons we've learned, mistakes we've made, journeys we've taken, failures we've endured, and the Lord delivered us from them all. The story I would love for you to be able to tell is the story of how you were brought from death to life, how you were delivered from a bondage to yourself and to a life of distance from God and sinfulness, transgression, to a life of renewed obedience and hope and joy. And you know, I'd love not only to hear it, I'd love for your children to hear it. I wonder if you've ever told them how the Lord saved you, if he has done that for you. What a great email to send to your adult son or daughter. Let me tell you, sweetheart, how the Lord delivered me. Let me tell you my story of his grace. Or the next time you have a chance on some evening, rather than an evening full of television, wouldn't it be great to just take a walk? Stand beside a stream or perhaps out in a little woods and just sit and talk and listen and learn. If you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your moment. That's why you've come. You didn't know it, but that's why the Lord brought you. Through him, you will witness truth lived out and died for. You will see love on display, love for his own and even love for those who never knew him. You will hear teaching like no one ever taught, no one ever spoke like this man. And you will learn to respect his role of authority in your life. You come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, a simple act of the will where you, with your own hand, like Charlie Shedd's son reaching up to his hand, you reach up and say, "Father, thank you for Christ who died for me. I take him as my own guide and Lord and Savior." Do that today. We who love this ministry remain down here at the front of the building and happy to talk with you about your decision for Christ. We'd love to do that. No big deal if you choose not to do that, but it's really your move, and I'll never force you. That's the Spirit's job. And finally, it just may be that you've become hypocritical in your faith. Faithful looking, but underneath, you lack the qualities that would attract someone to the Lord our God. Great day to make that right. Now's the time. Our Father, in the nostalgia of the moment, knowing this is our last meeting in this place as a gathering of worshipers, and realizing that we have been, like the Israelites, a bit of a wanderer from place to place and temporarily housed here and there, we come today, this historic occasion, to thank you for walking alongside and living in us. Thank you for truth that has become for us a lifeline like an air hose, so that we might go into the depths of the real world and not lose our way. Watch over us, our Father, at our work and in our play, when we are home and when we are alone, when we are with friends, and in the busy world about us. We pray that you will find us authentic representatives of the faith. Better in living than preaching. Better listeners than people who talk about it. Diligent about the work of ministry. Now that we're almost home, Lord, we do pause to thank you for seeing us through. Richly encourage and reward those who have paid major price in the process of getting us from here to there. You brought us out that you might take us in. And we accept it from your hand gratefully in the name of Christ and for his sake alone. Amen.
On the brink of moving into their new church home and worship center, you're listening to a message Chuck Swindoll delivered to the congregation at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas. And these principles, gleaned from Moses' leadership, certainly apply to us all. As we open today's program, I mentioned that we have an unusual opportunity on this Friday edition of Insight for Living. Because Chuck's message was a little shorter than normal, we've set aside a few minutes to sit down with Chuck to hear him respond to questions posed by our listening family. I'm guessing that several of these inquiries will be very similar to your own. Roger Kemp, one of our board members and a familiar voice, will get us rolling.
Over the decades, we've had the privilege of meeting so many listeners and sitting around chatting and answering questions and talking, and we knew that it would be fun just to sit down with you today and answer a few questions that have come in from our listening family. So y'all ready to do that?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Let's go ahead and pose the first question. It reads like this. How have you remained faithful to God's calling, Chuck, when you encounter resistance, especially when you believe the treatment is unjustified? And this particular listener cited a couple of examples that are happening in our country right now that are causing complete political unrest and turmoil.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Let me just say specifically, I force myself not to take it personally. Now, that's not easy to do. Nobody enjoys unfair criticism. In the long run, I always appreciate constructive criticism, though sometimes even that's hard to hear at the time. But I try to force myself, and I have to do that, not to take any of it personally if it's unfair criticism. I often talk it through with Cynthia. She's a good sounding board and is very objective. She certainly loves me and will take my side, but not before she will listen to the statement and say, you know, he does have a point at such and such an area he may mention. I would add one more thing. I refuse to become negative as a result of being around negative people. Martin Luther had an expression for those who were difficult in the family of God. He called them boars in God's vineyard. And every pastor listening today understands those words. An elder can be a boar in B-O-A-R, a boar in the vineyard. A person who was once a close friend but turns on you can become a bore in God's vineyard. Be careful about taking it out on them from the pulpit. I probably should have added that earlier. Don't fight your battles with an individual from the pulpit.
Not fair, is it?
No. And, you know, people didn't come to listen to me complain about some dude that's said something that was off the wall. I need to be big enough to get beyond that. Yeah. A lot of that's pretty childish. Anyway, I learned in the sandbox that when you fight back, it often means sand in your own face. And it's probably good to just take some of it and stay quiet.
This has been a great time entertaining some questions from our listening family. Here's another one, Chuck. What are some of the skills that you have learned over your life to deal with discouragement?
Number one, I would say that I stay very close to some who are really in my corner. That would be very close friends. Most people don't have a large circle of close friends. That's a tight radius. So I stay close to those people. Secondly, I deliberately determine from one day to the next, I will not let this day discourage me, no matter what. I will not let it discourage me, no matter what happens, no matter what news breaks into my awareness, no matter what occurs to me or to one of my loved ones, I will not be discouraged. Now, the third thing, it may sound like a soft landing for all of this. I read widely, and I always pick in that list of books, some books that deliberately lift my spirits. They're not always Christian books. Sometimes they're books on leadership. Sometimes they are books on making the most of life. Sometimes they are books on adventure, where people go through tough times and they didn't yield to discouragement. I read books like that and I think, if they can do that, I can do this.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Sure.
Yeah. But if you're around people that are always long-faced and they're always telling you the reasons this won't work or that'll never result in good, you're going to be discouraged. So stay away from discouraging people.
Well, it's always a pleasure to receive inquiries from our listening family. And we hope we'll have future occasions to sit down with Chuck in this manner. To listen to this program again, look for it when you go to insightworld.org. By the way, we didn't have enough time to field all the questions today. However, you can hear an extended and unabridged conversation right now by going to insight.org/askchuck. And then just before we sign off, let me remind you that Insight for Living is a listener-supported nonprofit ministry. As God leads you to respond by giving a donation, let me explain how you can easily get in touch. First, if you're listening in the United States, give us a call at 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easier to give online at insight.org/donate. As another option, you might want to simply send a text. Just text the word INSIGHT to this easy-to-remember number, 555-888. Again, type the word INSIGHT into your text box to this number, 555-888. Join us again Monday when your station features the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Almost Home, was copyrighted in 2001, 2002, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.